The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Oilers Nation Radio, fresh Friday episode coming at you. Bag Milk, Rick, Dan, Tyler, Liam, we're all here. Gang's all here celebrating a big win last night against the Carolina Hurricanes. But first, we got to give a little bit of love to our friends at Oodle Noodle. New West End location just opened. Calgary location sounds like it's going to be opening in November. So if you are an Oilers fan in Calgary behind enemy lines, we're going to be sending some good eats down your way. As we do every week, we start off with a delicious debate for our friends at DoorDash. Liam, please, fresh one.
Ding dong.
Tyler, what do you got for us this week?
Delicious debate. The Oilers are 2-2 through their first four games. They wrap up the month with five more matchups. They go St. Louis, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, weird, Chicago, and Calgary. I know we gave our takes earlier, like what kind of record would you want to see in October? But now that you have four games under your belt, what are you expecting in these final five games? What's your record? What would make you happy?
Dan?
The final five games, I would say 3-2. But more importantly for me, it's the starts of the games that started better, obviously, against Carolina. And it's the keeping the good teams back like we did against Carolina. So 3-2 is fine by me as long as we're showing visually better improvements.
Rick, what do you think?
For me, I think it's got to be at least 7 points. Get it however you want, but these are teams we should be able to beat. We should be able to beat St. Louis at least one out of two. Pittsburgh's kind of old. I don't see why our speed, if it's going to hold back Carolina, why Pittsburgh should be able to stick around. Calgary needs some revenge, and what's the other game in there?
Got to beat Chicago.
And yeah, Chicago's got to be, you know, we love Jujar, but it's got to be a W.
He playing for them still?
He is.
Nice. Good for Jujar.
Did you see Kennedy's tweet?
No.
She's stalking him at practice.
Yeah, Kennedy, our graphic designer, is in Chicago right now. Well, following Harry Styles around and also Jujar Kara. So Shout out to her. Liam, what do you think for the last little bit of the record here for October?
I'm probably with Rick. I think they got to go in and get probably 7 points. I mean, 4-1 would be awesome. They got to prove that they're one of these better teams in the league, right? So you've got to beat the better teams in the league. Chicago should be a given. So I think everyone's on that one. So yeah, I'll say 7 points minimum.
So again, we got St. Louis tomorrow. That's Saturday. That's a 2 p.m. start. Love me a matinee. Got 6 p.m. on Monday against the Penguins. In St. Louis on Wednesday, back-to-back Chicago the next night, and then Calgary on the 29th to wrap up the month. That is in Calgary. Rick, what do you think for this?
What time is the Monday game?
6 p.m.
In Edmonton?
In Edmonton.
Why?
Why do we always accommodate to other teams?
It's got to be an American National type of thing.
Crosby versus McDavid.
It's got to be a TNT game. It's got to be. It's just
God. Just watch the game at 6. What's wrong with you guys?
No, I'm going. I'll be at the game. It's just we never play 6 o'clock games.
Why does it drive you nuts?
Because whenever we play somebody at home, like when we play LA or San Jose, they somehow start at 8 o'clock. But when we play them there, it always starts at 8 o'clock for us too.
That's just because.
So why doesn't the time change?
So do you want games at 8 o'clock or do you want them at 6?
I want them at 7. I want the games at 7.
I hear what you're saying, but
and he wants a $3.25 cheeseburger.
Yes, a good value cheeseburger. There's nothing wrong with that.
I just think the reality is, like the guy said, it's national broadcast, and then the other part is, too, with the West Coast, is you're after the national broadcast at 8 p.m. start.
I just hate it.
Is that a doubleheader, though, on Monday? Forever. Like, that's not, like, we get our doubleheader in Canada for the Sportsnet one is a Wednesday, right?
Wednesday,
so
yeah.
I see why our games are our nighttime, or sorry, 8 o'clock on Wednesdays. But is that the thing in the U.S.? Like, they do a doubleheader on Mondays?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
We're going to have to find out.
I think it might just be the one game.
Yeah, because actually it would be kind of silly for them to go. Yeah. And, like, why would you do a national televised game like that up against?
Football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on NHL Network, TVA Sports, and Sportsnet 1. So, yeah, it's national in Canada.
Also, like Tyler said, it's Sid versus Crosby. David versus Crosby.
It's
like
good to grow the game to put it at 6 o'clock Mountain Time. That's 8 o'clock Eastern. People on the East Coast are still going to watch the game. It's good for the game.
Because it's like when you see McDavid playing at 8:30 Mountain or 8 o'clock Mountain, you just cut out a big chunk of people that are going to watch it on the East Coast.
But you're going to get, it's going to get cut out anyways playing on Monday.
Well, because people are
going to watch it. Now it's not getting double cut out.
Well, it's interesting because like the NFL, they're basically taking over the entire week. Because are they not doing a Friday night game coming up here right away on Amazon?
No, yeah. Oh, they're doing a Black Friday.
The Black Friday
year,
game.
Next year.
So the NFL is trying to take over the whole calendar.
No,
here.
That is Amazon keeping people in the house instead of going shopping. This way they buy their shit online and watch football at the same time. This is fucking genius by Amazon.
But eventually the NHL is barely playing on Sundays this week.
Yeah.
Or this year.
They have four games.
And on Super Bowl Sunday, every game is over by like 1 p.m. our time.
It makes sense.
Just get the hell out of the way, right? Like why even go up against them? If you've got Sid and you got Connor and you want to put them one-on-one in front of everybody, why not do a Saturday night game?
The NHL made a concerted effort, I think. I wish that we would have heard this from the league at some point, but it feels like when you look at the NHL schedule that, like you guys mentioned, our Sunday schedules, the NHL Sunday schedule goes for the next foreseeable future of Sundays. There's 5 games this week, 5 games the next week, 3 games the week after that, 6 games in the middle of November, and then 2 games towards the end of November and 5 games. So I think that they've registered and they understand.
Yeah, stay away from Sundays.
Back away from the NFL and try and make Saturday and Sunday or Saturday and Friday your thing.
It's smart.
Well, it is smart. Look, on Sunday, NFL starts at 11 in the morning here in Edmonton and then it goes all the way until the late game. So why would you even bother? Which reminds me, we've got one trip available to Vegas. Nationgear.ca. Dan, we've got one left. We are going to be there for, is it Wild Card Weekend?
Yes.
Woo! That's a lot of foosball that we'll be watching on the Sunday.
And like important foosball
and important
the props
hockey.
Are going to be flying and oh boy.
And it is all thanks to our friends at AMA Travel who are partnering up with for all our travel this year. So that's a big thumbs up for AMA Travel. And that last spot, if you buy it, you're getting a guaranteed good time.
Shoot me an email, dan@oilersnation.com.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the Oilers. I think that, again, 2 games against St. Louis, you need to split one.
At least.
I think the Oilers are going to beat the Penguins.
Yes.
I'm with Rick. They're looking a little bit older. You know, they kept the band back together. Yeah.
They can't keep up with the speed. The Oilers have a ton of fucking speed.
Chicago, must win. Calgary, we're going to get a better effort than we did in the first Battle of Alberta. So I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to expect 4-1 out of these next 5.
Wow, you're going to expect that. That's your bar for acceptance.
Okay, 3-1-1.
Good. This is a fucking conference final team.
We should be winning.
Expectations should be high.
3-1-1 at the very least.
Getting 6 out of every 10 points is good.
Yeah, of course. We're not wearing headphones today, and my shit's falling everywhere. Distracted.
We're just leave them on the floor.
Just some new stuff.
Yeah, we're trying new things today. So if you are listening to this ahead of tomorrow's game, which is Saturday against St. Louis, we want to know what your acceptable record is for the final 5 games. I don't really put too much stock into what happens in October, generally speaking, but you also don't want to be shitting the bed like the Vancouver Canucks either. So We've got some big games coming up here against some good teams. Measuring stick games, maybe. Like, I want to see how the Oilers match up against St. Louis. So let's look at tomorrow's game a little bit. 2 p.m. start, matinee. I was very confused when I saw it on the schedule because I just assumed Oilers at home Saturday were playing the late game on Hockey Night in Canada, but way she goes.
Afternoon beers.
I do like afternoon beers. So what's everybody, since we face them twice in the next week, what's everybody expecting from St. Louis tomorrow? I don't think quite that they're quite the same team that won the Cup a handful of years ago, but they're still going to fuck you up if you make mistakes.
They're a really good team, but I have a lot of confidence in the team we have right now, and there's no reason why we can't go out there and beat them by a couple goals on tomorrow.
Yeah, they're a team that's just solid and plays a good structured game, and yeah, for the Oilers, you just have to break through that and not get frustrated, because we've seen that against a team like Buffalo, and I'm not saying Buffalo is the same ilk of St. Louis, but...
Buffalo just walked through Calgary, and everyone says it's the greatest team in the world.
Yeah, Buffalo just walked through Alberta and just made, like... Eric Comrie revenge tour through Alberta.
But I just think that this team has a tendency, or has the propensity to get down on itself if the pucks aren't going in. And so, yeah, I just think that we should be able to beat any team like St. Louis. But this team, especially early on, has been able to beat itself a little bit. So I just want to see them come out and do a concerted or consistent effort against that team and keep them back. That was the big thing against Carolina. Anytime Carolina fought back into that game, the Oilers were pushing them right back again.
That, for me, like last night's win against Carolina, that makes me feel better about just going into the next run of games. Not that I was worried. We talked about it earlier, just where's your panic level? I'm still at zero, still was at zero. Mm-hmm. But having the Oilers come out, beat a good team like Carolina.
One goal too, like shut down a one goal game essentially.
Well, and also they grabbed the first goal of the game. Zach Hyman got himself on the board. Love seeing that. They didn't give it up from there. Carolina was never able to tie the game from there. And I think that that's something we haven't really seen over the first run of games, and I hope that the Oilers can carry that confidence forward into tomorrow. What are you expecting from tomorrow, Liam?
I can't believe St. Louis has only played twice. That was my biggest shock. They've only played two games, and we've played what now? This will be our fifth. So maybe you can kind of catch him still in preseason mode a little bit. Catch him flat-footed, you know what I mean?
Like, yep.
Did they start the season in Europe?
No, they didn't. They played Columbus on Saturday the 15th, then they played Wednesday. So I think all the other teams just played Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and they didn't.
Tough building availability at the Purina One Cat Food Arena or whatever they
call it. Scott Trade Center.
It used to be owned by the cat food company, though, right?
Not in my time, I don't think. It's the Scott Trade something.
Most likely is in your time. We saw how old you were the other day.
It's true, you did say that.
Kind of like Carolina, though. They haven't played anybody.
Well, like
Columbus and Seattle.
Last night, Carolina, they started the season 3-0, but the teams they played were, you know...
Not great.
They're not great. Mm-hmm. So they had a challenge last night against the Oilers. Oilers handled it well.
They failed at their challenge.
I want to talk a little bit about last night's game because there was a couple of guys that got on the board that really, really needed to be. Tyler, what do you find over there on that naming rights?
Ralston Purina acquired the St. Louis Blues National Hockey Team. So they didn't own the arena. They own the actual whole damn team.
So the cat people own the team.
What year was this, Tyler? Let's go on.
77.
I was right. And it was before my time.
But did they? I think they still own them, yo.
Yeah, but they never once named the arena the Purina.
Well, the good news about cat food is you need it always. Mm-hmm. You know?
Someone named Tom Stillman.
Why don't they call their arena the litter box?
Oh, that's a good name.
We're going to make it our own personal litter box. Not Saturday, because that's at Rogers, but no. The next one, next week. And it's the litter box.
I want to talk about a couple of things from last night. Evander Kane got on the board, needed him to. He got a bunch of chances against the Sabres, couldn't cash any in. Glad he got his first last night. Zach Hyman got his first last night. Happy to see him get on the board. Those two should be off and rolling. Another guy who I thought had a good game despite his numbers or his box score not necessarily looking all that great was Jack Campbell. Only finished with a .900 save percentage against the Carolina Hurricanes, but I'm thinking about that one sequence in the second period where he made probably 2, 3, 4 just grade A saves.
The stretch across to his glove side.
Just ridiculous. So I want to just touch on Jack Campbell real quick. Early days, what are we thinking there?
I think Leafs fans, it's easy for them to look at his numbers and laugh at us on Twitter and be like, oh, 508 goals against average.
Their Campbell fucking goalie sucks. Isn't going to play for 6 weeks.
Well, they are. There's that. And also, like, okay, maybe Campbell hasn't had his signature game yet as an Oiler.
But
or
he's
like
had his signature
welcome.
Saves that kept us in the game, kept exactly. us winning the game.
Against Vancouver, bad start, 100%. Was great down the stretch and late in the second period there. Big reason why they won. Yesterday against Carolina, he was solid. Like, the goals that went in, I know me and you went back and forth on Oilers Nation every day today, begging milk about the first Svechnikov goal. Sure, but second and third ones?
Impossible.
What's he going to do, right?
So the shot was impossible to stop.
Yeah. I didn't really like the first one because it was like a clean shot. Give him a pass on it. Second one, no problem. I actually had a bigger problem with Barry on the second one because his stick was just kind of in the way but not really doing anything. And then the third one is what it is. But I don't think Campbell gave up anything last night that was egregious.
No, we're just giving up too many good chances.
Way too many.
Has he at all?
Not really.
Not really, no.
Like I don't think any of the goals have been like, wow, that was brutal.
Well, and my argument was if we let Leon Draisaitl get those exact same chances against us or against them, he's going to score three out of those five goals. Yeah. So, I mean, Svechnikov is their player, and we unleashed him on Campbell, and Campbell bent but didn't break.
You got to give him credit, too, though. He's the good player. He's got a hell of a shot.
That guy's got a heavy wrist.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Every now and then we have to give the other team credit.
That's the one guy I'm not leaving unmarked on that Carolina team. You accept a goal from Brent Pesce or Nekash or whoever, but Svechnikov.
He's going to get his couple chances. He just got to.
Yeah, and so for me, Svechnikov could have made that game a tied game on his own. And so
but he wasn't good enough.
Campbell is the bet. It was the answer there. And I think that for myself, I've tricked myself because we've had a big goalie for a long time that I look at Campbell a little bit differently, and I've noticed that last night, especially during that sequence where I was just convinced he was done and he was out of the play, and then all of a sudden he's back again for the second chance and the third chance. It was an incredible little sequence.
Amazingly, Jack Campbell's still a 6'3" dude. It's not like he's small. No, it's just that Miko and Mike Smith were giants.
How big was Mike Smith?
6'5".
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I always felt like he was a very small man.
Well, he made himself look very small.
5'11". I don't know. He's kind of.
You think he had small man syndrome?
No, I do not think that. I guess next to Miko, everyone's small.
You thought Mike Smith was 5'11"?
I didn't think you, but maybe that is small. Not that that's small, I'm 5'11". It's quite a significant height.
But yeah, so coming into having a goalie that's a more agile guy, it's a little bit different too. I think that's playing a role.
But like Mike Smith was more agile than Campbell, I think. Campbell just his angles are there. He doesn't need that agility because there are no rebounds. Like the puck just gets kind of swallowed up by his equipment.
I think Mike Smith was more of a yard sale.
I wouldn't confuse agile with floppy.
Well, he made chaos. Himself have to be agile. Yeah. He had to throw around his limbs all the time.
Yep.
He just put himself in this. But no, the thing I've noticed with that was incredible.
What the fuck was that?
That was his draft year, wasn't it?
Holy hell.
Shit,
that's
Mike
his draft
Smith.
Year. That's with Minnesota Wild.
How did we not?
Liam just pulled
Dude,
up a
no,
picture.
There's a couple there from that draft class. From that draft class. That's like 04 or something, isn't it?
Can you tweet that?
Yeah, we need that picture up on Twitter ASAP.
We missed. This is on us.
Oh, my goodness. That is an incredible photo.
This should have been on everything.
Dude, he had one of those puka shell he's got a puka shell necklace on there, too. Maybe two or three of them.
Yeah. Well, you can just tell the era right from there. What time that was from with that puka shell necklace.
Oh, yeah.
Hell, yeah.
Nice early 2000s.
He was only the Oilers goaltender for...
I don't remember what it is.
Our username?
Well, it's the email.
Oh, that's right.
Sign into yours and DM it to me, and I'll post it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Liam, what's been your take on...
You could this in your phone, too.
Yep. Liam, what's been your take on Jack Campbell so far?
I think he's been fine. I don't feel like, oh, no, they're coming down on a breakaway. He has a goal.
I want to ask you guys that.
It's reassuring to have someone back there you can kind of trust. And saying that at the same time, like Mike Smith did a good job when he was with Edmonton. I just haven't had the emotional damage from Campbell yet.
Rich. That's a good question that Liam kind of brought up. Do you guys feel comfortable yet with Jack Campbell back there, or is it still kind of a little PTSD from Miko and Mike Smith?
Well, I mean, we can go a lot further than just those two guys, but...
We
can rattle names off for the rest of the fucking podcast here. I do, but it's... he makes a save, and you just wait for... Like, why aren't you moving? Why aren't you... because you had the puck the whole time, eh? All right. Okay.
That's exactly what I was saying.
I'm worried, like, oh, shit, this is going to go in? But you're waiting for that second move. Like, okay, there it is. But now you got it. Oh, no, you held it. Oh, it's still in you. Oh, well, oh, okay. I guess I'll have another sip of my beer. This is kind of weird.
That's exactly it. And during that sequence last night, I found myself reserved to the fact, well, that's a second opportunity in front of the net. Those go in the net, and we're just going to be tied now. But that wasn't the case.
I feel like it's like when you're a fan of a team with a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, there's a minute to go, you're down by six, and the fans are like, meh. My team, I'm usually down by three with 2.5 quarters to go, and I'm like, yeah, this game's fucking over.
With Campbell, it's like his ability to smother pucks is really interesting to me because there was that, again, where that grade A chances in the second period last night where there was one dead center slot, and he just swallowed it, covered it, played dead. And I just go, wow, that's wild. And then what does he do is he encourages his defenseman right after that instead of screaming at them. It's like, I've got a lot to get used to here.
You grew up playing hockey in the late 80s, early 90s too. Yes, like that yelling at a multimillionaire. We got yelled at when I was 9 years old.
Oh yeah, I got yelled
so
at
that,
a lot.
That stuff never really fucking bothered me. When people bring up the mics, man, it is what it is. Trust me, I've gone through much, much worse of that when I was fucking 8.
I remember playing Bantam and having a clipboard thrown at me.
Oh, dude.
That happens now.
I think you deserved it.
10, man.
I probably did.
I was like 10 and 11 playing two teams in the same organization with the same level and everything because we had so many kids. So you had an automatic rivalry. It was the Edmonton Oilers and Flames right away.
Yeah.
And like parents hated each other. It was intense, man. It was like, 1990 was a fucking weird time.
Another guy I want to talk about. How could I not? Huge night last night for my boy Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. He was arguably...
He does everything you want him to do. That's what he does.
Yes. His hand in all the cookie jars.
He's got 5-on-5. He's got a shorty. He's got a couple, he's got power play. Like, that's exactly what he does. And people... I still don't understand why people don't see this.
A lot of people, I think, all they look at is the box score or the points. And with Nuge... Like, last night, he got 4 points, and you go, fuck yeah, Nuge, that was a big night. But then there's other nights where he doesn't get a point, and he's still doing things right, and that just goes unnoticed.
He's just not hitting the stat sheet on those nights.
So, my boy last night, he's got 5 points so far in the 4 games played, 2 goals, 3 assists. I need a big season from Nugent Hopkins because he's got some people that are doubting him after some two quiet years. I heard Tyler talking about it on Oilers Nation Every Day a little bit. Shooting percentage way down over the last 2 seasons. If he comes back up to normal, is it crazy to think that he could hit 70 points for the first time this year? I don't think so.
No, it's one more point than he's had.
Yeah. Tyler?
Yeah, man, I'm with you. I mean, you're off to a good start when you pop 5 points in your first 4 games, granted.
Four
of them coming in one game. But I pointed out in an article and on my show that, you know, it's a shooting percentage thing to an extent as well, right? Like regression upwards to the mean. Last year, he shot 7.1%. Like, that's way lower than he's been in any of those past years. And in all those years, he's on a 20 to 25 goal pace. And I don't think it's totally unreasonable to expect that he'll get back to that level. So yeah, I love what we saw from the Nuge last night. And I think it's just the beginning of a really good year for 93.
I loved that shorthanded goal that Ryan McLeod scored last night. Bouchard, hell of a pass to get it up there in the first place. And then Nuge with just the perfect sauce right to McLeod. Great finish through the legs. Liam, what did you see from RNH last night?
Saw him play well on the second line. I feel like that's where he should almost just stay now. That's where he feels most productive is on the wing rather than down the middle and just kind of see.
Also, his faceoff stats just aren't there.
Yeah, like he just doesn't. And it's an important part. And Draisaitl's all right. Like,
yeah.
And he's still a secondary centerman at that point, so if Leon gets kicked out, you still have a legit centerman to put in there.
Well, and at that point, too, like, the NHL's so fluid these days, like, those guys are weaving back and forth in positions anyway.
Yeah, and you just got to put players in positions to succeed, and if that's where he needs to be, then that's where he needs to be. Like, I don't expect a 4-point night every night, obviously, but...
Every third night.
Yes, I demand it.
Of course, I demand it too. But either way, like... I think he'll just be a more consistent player playing in there with Draisaitl. And who's on the other side? Was it Yamo?
Yeah,
like maybe that's the line. And we saw it, right?
Nudramoto. It's worked before.
The line that worked before, maybe it's back and they should keep rolling with it. It makes him more dangerous.
Rick, you're at the game last night. RNH thoughts?
Like I said, man, he just did everything that you want him to do. He hit the scoreboard in all three different aspects of the game. He's that type of player. He's that Swiss Army knife, and he just had a really good game in every aspect out there, and finally it was visible to those who can only read a stat sheet.
Another guy I want to talk about that I had a good night last night that I actually didn't have on my list, but I was thinking about Tyler's show, Oilers Nation Every Day. You talked about Warren Fogle on the show having a good night and how you expect him to be the next player that maybe kind of starts to pick it up a little bit. What's your thinking there?
Yeah, I look at him, and I thought he had a couple of really nice chances against Carolina, and I don't know. It's just last year, he was inconsistent. I won't even say he was snake bit last year. He was inconsistent. Didn't bring it physically all that often. Struggled to finish off chances a lot. But I look at him and I go, he's a guy who's got skill. Like, we see it. When he does score, like, a lot of times it's skilled goals.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I looked at what he did against Carolina. And even going back to the loss to Buffalo, Calgary to an extent, I feel like he's starting to get engaged more physically. And when he's getting engaged physically and he's running around a little bit, laying the body, it opens up space for his teammates and there's more scoring chances when he's on the ice. His shooting percentage is another one that could probably go up. There probably is some positive regression to be had. I think this year it's fair to expect, or I at least think, Fogel will be a more consistent scorer for the Oilers, even if he doesn't get those stretches where he's playing with Connor McDavid like he did last year.
Dan, what do you think about Fogel?
Well, I was going to say the same thing about Nuge as I would about him. I just think that these guys, like, you see it with Nuge when he gets that goal. I think that that's just part of it. Like, Fogel strikes me as a guy that just wants to be engaged, and you saw it especially last night, and I feel like maybe being against his former team maybe helped him kind of, you know, get into it. But I just, you know, once these guys start potting a few goals, I could absolutely see a Warren Fogel figuring this all out and it all just starting to click for him, because so many of these guys have an opportunity to establish themselves and take a spot in that bottom six, because right now it's rotating in and out all the time. And I just think that this team is begging for some consistency down there.
With Warren Fogel, I think of a guy like, he would do himself a world of good if he can find a way to get one early and not let like the zero sit up on the board too long. I feel like he probably got in his own head, like, oh, new team, new contract, all that shit last year. If you can just get one early, I think that'll go a long way. Liam?
Yeah, I think it's just about finding consistency for him and establishing himself in the lineup. I think maybe the competition within the team helps a bit more too. Like, there's, like, now Holloway hasn't had a great start to the year, but gradually he's going to find his
way. Our boy got blown up against the Sabres.
That was a hard one. It wasn't good.
No. But
I think that helps, and I think maybe that's what pushes him to get to the next level, and maybe that's what he's kind of seeing right now is he's not producing, but he's playing well. Mm-hmm. I think that goes a long way with Woodcroft. I mean, like, look at Brad Malone.
Well, I think that's where he'll get his confidence from initially, is keeping the puck out of our own net and starting to play at the puck on the other side of the center ice line. And when that starts going, then you start to get a little, grip your stick a little lighter, and that's when the puck starts to go in the net. And I think that can happen for a lot of guys in the bottom two-thirds of the lineup.
I want to see this third line stay together for a bit. And that's
so you're
the
talking Cloud, Fogel, and Poole.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think you look at that trio there. If Fogel can be the shit disturber, lay in the body, first guy in on the forecheck, Ryan McLeod, speedy centerman, Jesse Puljujarvi, the defensive conscious slash guy with the most offensive skill, the guy who's best capable of being an offensive play driver. I just think those three, if you give them enough time to figure it out, there's potential with that to be like a really damn good third line.
I think Fogel's got to find himself, once the puck's in the corner, he's going to find his way to the front of the net, because a guy like Puljujarvi is so good at keeping everybody off that he can stick his ass around and then find a puck out to the front of the net. And then you just got to, at that point, you need to start banging those home.
No better insurance than a good third line, am I right? Unfortunately, you can't quite get a good third line from our friends at Cornerstone, but they do have everything else. Auto, residential, commercial, life insurance, cornerstoneins.ca. Pop onto the website, submit a claim, get a quote, anything you need right there. That's exactly how Tyler insured the Nation truck.
Cornerstone Insurance is kind of like having a good third line, right? Like, you're the driver, you're the first line, your vehicle's there, that's line number two. And then when something goes wrong and you need line number three to step up, that's Cornerstone.
Cornerstoneins.ca. Go get yourself a quote today. Save a little bit of money on your insurance. Citizens of the Nation, click the about. There's a button right there to get a discount just because you're listening to this podcast. Easy, easy. Cornerstoneins.ca.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I got to talk about a little bit of injury news slash roster updates. Philip Roberg got a bunged up shoulder. He's, I can think of no better way to welcome him to the Oilers organization than some kind of shoulder injury.
Pretty sure that's called initiation.
Yep. So he will be out until at least next weekend. He is currently with the Condors. That hurts. We were expecting, well, I mean, like his name was kind of written in to start the season. Didn't really have a great training camp preseason.
There was a lot of hope in trying to write that name in.
Yes.
And they actually came, I'm pretty certain it was Holland who came on and said he has to play his way off the team. And unfortunately, he kind of did.
Well, he's going to take a little extra time here because he's bunged up. So he's down in Bakersfield. He won't play until next weekend. Mentioned Dylan Holloway on, what would that have been, Tuesday. Man, Ilya Labushkin just lit him up after what I am going to say is a suey from Warren Fogel.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? So I was thinking about this too. And a lot of times you see them fire the puck up like that. And then instead of spinning and turning that, so he's on the left side, right?
Yep.
You stand there, you face the boards and you just deflect the puck off the boards and down. And yeah. I kind of think that's where, and they do that a bunch.
Yep.
Right. So I kind of think that's where, what the mindset of Fogel was at the time. And Dylan just, yeah, he decided to try and take it up the middle and
got to pick it up sideways, like you said.
Hockey, man. I needed to see a second look at that hit because it was so big and so in. But no, it was a clean hit, man.
Yep. Holloway has just made a few decisions in his rookie year so far where he pays for it, whether it's a giveaway or it's a hit. You know, like you said, it's learning. And next time, he's probably going to be the guy that taps it up the boards and doesn't take that huge hit. But
He's getting welcome to the NHL lessons all over the board in the first three games.
But I've noticed that in a lot of the things so far, because the Tage Thompson goal on Leon.
Not a real name.
Everybody gave Leon shit. And so he's sitting there. It's 2-on-2. They're coming back, right? But he sees, Nurse is skating backwards. Nurse sees Leon there. So he's waiting for Leon to come back and steal the puck. He goes to, doesn't get a chance to do it. And at that exact point, Thompson starts to cut across the ice. And if Nurse stands up and like gets in front of him, he's probably got his arms there and he's getting a holding call of some sort. So he can't do anything at that point. And then credit to Thompson for getting outside of him and bringing it back in and tucking it around the goalie. So everyone sat there and wanted to hang a Nurse out. That's the kind of way it went.
My problem with Nurse on that play was just how far he backed in on
skate. See, and I think that he was doing that because he could see Leon coming back. And Leon, 98 times out of 100, steals that puck.
I think that was also just rust because the gap control on the Woodcroft-led Oilers last year was way tighter than it is right now. So I think it's just a little bit of rust. Boys have to get up and running. There's probably some of that there.
Yeah.
Has to be. I will just go through
that. Fogel jumping in, being the first guy to get on the...
You have to.
Yeah, oops, sorry.
You have to.
That's on me?
That's the exact same thing as Nurse when he gave the puck up at the blue line and then was the guy coming back and got there. And everybody gives Nurse shit for the giveaway and not a whisper about getting back. And actually, that was an incredible play by him.
I think Nurse has actually been really good.
He is.
Compared to what we saw in the playoffs when his leg was basically falling off, like he seems to have recovered pretty well and like... He has 2 goals in 4 games.
Yeah.
I think he's paying him to score goals.
Well, of course they are.
You did pay him to score goals. He scored 16 and you paid him.
But yeah, of course you're paying him to score goals.
For all the 9.25 tweets out there, we can't go and hork off this dude.
No, you can't. You're right. No.
You can't.
We've seen this. We know exactly what it is. We fed it and it's terrible. So you won't see that out of me, that's for sure. I just can't make that mistake twice.
Me neither. I'm not interested in it. I'm getting away from whipping boy culture as much as I possibly can. Back to Holloway for a second, though. He's going to be out until at least...
He's going on the trip.
Yep. So the Oilers are taking him on the road trip with him. So they've got two more games at home, and then they leave on the road trip, I'm guessing probably Tuesday. Holloway will join them in St. Louis, Chicago, and Calgary. Whether or not he plays, we will find out. But it's a good sign that he's on the trip. Because I'm not going to lie, he got leveled like that, and I just went, oh, boy. And then he left and didn't come back. It's like, fuck, man.
But I don't think it's that. It's tough to actually say this, but I don't know if it's concussion issues. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe he got his bell rung enough to, like, be in protocol and just kind of keep an eye on it, and nothing's really surfacing. So I think that's where he is now.
When you get hit like a truck like that, it could be all kinds of things.
But he's flash, it's yeah, neck, but he, it's back.
Yeah, but he's thick. Shoulders, he's thick. You need like
how many C's?
Buddy, he's three or four.
Nice.
Yeah, that upper, yeah, I'm sure it takes a lot to fucking move his head like that.
So as a result, the Oilers are still playing shorthanded on the roster. I gotta love that cap situation, you know? Gotta love that cap situation. Daniel Nugent-Bowman from The Athletic, just going back to Broberg really quick, says Broberg has an upper body injury, has been skating with the Condors all week, questionable for the weekend, almost certainly will play next weekend.
Perfect.
Got an interesting DM from Gabe, a listener named Gabe, who wanted to kind of have, wanted us to have the conversation about how patient do we have to be with Philip Broberg? You know, are you disappointed he didn't make the team out of camp this year? Sort do of. The Oilers need to hold on to him, or do you maybe view him as more of a trade chip because he didn't come in this year and make the team?
I mean, I said it for the last 2 years, I'd be trading Broberg. It's not because I don't believe that he can be a contributor on this team. I just believe that the Oilers Stanley Cup window is open right now. And if you can get a better defenseman that can help today in 2022 on Friday, October 21st, and he's part of the deal going out, I'm doing it.
That's just it. It has to be for a better defenseman that kind of suits that position today better than he does.
If we could use Philip Broberg as part of a trade package that maybe, say, pushes Kulak down to the third pairing, now we're talking something. Yeah, like and I'm moving Broberg if that's part of the, if that's part of the deal.
Yep. But to ask that question about whether we're going to deal Broberg like we did Samarukov, no. Right?
No, like, no, you're not just going
to
like
dumping him off to get rid of him because we don't want him. It's and it's certainly not going to be for a player that's the same level as Broberg.
Yeah.
No. So, yeah, to me, it has to be a part of a package, and it has to be that you are better today than you were yesterday.
I'm a little bit disappointed he didn't make the team because I really wanted him to, but I'm not giving up on the player yet. Like we said last week, he's kind of falling into the way that Klefbom came up, and I remember watching Klefbom, and everybody was saying, oh, he's not doing all that well in the AHL anyways, and by the time he got up, he looked really good here. So I still have a lot of hope in Broberg.
Do we know where his injury actually happened?
That's what I was going to ask. Was this an injury that happened in preseason, or did it
just that's where in I'm kind of, like, yeah.
Did he not make the team because of this injury?
That's a good question.
Because if it is,
then, why aren't people asking these questions? The other week, last week, last Sunday, sorry, I just got to go on a diatribe. We had how many reporters complaining about there were zero games in the NHL that day, and not one of them thought to reach out to the league and get a comment on it? Like, it's so silly to me that we're just like, oh yeah, he's injured. Okay,
what are they going
to
say though?
Well, but like, ask the question, and then if they're not going to say it, then they're not going to say it. But at least ask the question, or put me in the room and let me ask the question because I'll ask it.
Especially with St. Louis only playing two games. That is kind of weird.
Like, you just have questions. I have questions.
Sure there's reasons for why St. Louis is there.
Yeah, it just seems weird.
Because we always had the time where, like in Edmonton, we were always on. Yeah, we had the CFR. And then you go back long enough in March, they had the Shriners Circus. So the Oilers were always out of town around, you know, halfway through March. And
Maybe the St. Lunatics are doing a residency at the... You know?
Yeah, it could be, yeah. Nelly's not getting off stage.
Why aren't they on the road?
Goddamn cat.
Well, then it doesn't...
We would go on the road.
But then, yeah, you just kind of like, they get it soft and then they'll figure it. Like, yeah, making the schedule has got to be one of the hardest things in the world to do.
There's
got to
be so much math and shit in that.
32 teams, 82 games, like, fuck.
Zero games less than a week into your season is silly. Without an explanation. If you're going to just say, listen, we wanted to give the NFL its thing, then that's fine. But I don't think we can just keep... And to bring it back to Broberg, it's a real legitimate question that I have.
Come back to Broberg, though.
It's a real legitimate question that this fan base should have. Was he ready to play and he was hurt, or is he hurt?
Yeah, that's what I would ask. And also, I don't think...
Well, he played up until like the last few
We would have known
games.
Something.
But was he... Yeah,
we would have known something. Like, you would have seen like...
But I wonder if
the
just
training
like
would have been different, or he would have been going through rehab of some sort that they would have seen. Like,
They're not going to sit there and be like, oh, he didn't make the team because he's hurt. Like, I don't know. They're not...
But maybe you ask the question and maybe you get him to answer it.
Did he play in Bakersfield already?
No.
No.
He hasn't played at all. My take on Broberg would be... I don't think anyone has established themselves to play on that third pairing right now. So why not just play him when he's healthy to see if it actually works?
Well, yeah, I think you put him down in the AHL, you let him get healthy, give him a couple of minutes down there, a couple of games, and then you bring him back up again. But
if, I don't know, someone like Jacob Chychrun, for example, becomes available and they're like, we want Broberg and this, this, and this, then you have to consider it. It's about getting better. And does Broberg make you better, or would someone like Chychrun make you better?
I believe that.
I think both.
They are now in a position where they'll be a little more willing to move him. They may not say it on in front of a camera or anything like that, but I think right now the fact that he did not crack the lineup right away, I think you could see them probably, if Chychrun was a part of a deal that they wanted Broberg, I think it'd be a lot more opportunity to move him now.
Yeah, I think that's right too.
Tyler, what do you think, Philip Broberg?
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same boat as you guys. Like, if we get to the, I'm not giving up on Philip Broberg to the level of like trade him for Soucy or a rental at the deadline. Like, okay, that's dumb. Mm-hmm. I'm not on the level of like Samarikov or, you know.
No.
But like, yeah, he's not untouchable anymore. And I think with Kulak and Nurse signed long-term on the left side, he can be, again, a little expendable in a deal for the right piece.
Especially if Niemelainen keeps playing well.
Well, yeah, if Niemelainen keeps playing well too, but I'm talking about like a move for a Chychrun and a move for a...
Fair.
Chychrun-esque left-handed D-man. You're not sitting there being like, God, no, we need Broberg to pan out to be that top pairing guy. Like, no, if you can get a legit impact top four guy right now, you move Broberg for him.
But we're still in the position where we'd have to juggle some more stuff because of the cap. But by the way, I really hope things are going to go the way the rumor is right now, that it might go up a couple million this year.
Yeah, Frank Saravalli, what did he say, Tyler?
So basically there was that the pandemic-related debt between the owners and the players, and they didn't think it would be paid off until like 2024, but it's going fast enough where it might get paid off sooner, as in it might get paid off by the end of this season because things are going so well from a revenue perspective.
That is huge for us.
So the cap is going up guaranteed $1 million for next year. If this debt gets paid off in full, it needs to be in full, it'll go up as much as $4.5 million. That's a big difference. That extra $3.5 million. That suddenly, maybe you go long-term with Bouchard. Maybe you go long-term with Bouchard and McLeod with that extra $3.5 million compared to what you thought you had.
For sure you do.
Going into the summer. So, or maybe you add a $3.5 million defenseman with that newfound money. Like, there's a bunch of ways you could go. The interesting thing, though, is that Frank says it needs to be paid off in full. But I also think there's a bunch of incentive from both sides of this thing
to get this done this year so they can get on to the fucking...
If you're the PA and the NHL sits there and goes, the debt's not paid off, $80 million. If you're the PA, why wouldn't you just pay that? Because if every team has $3.5 million, that's over $100 million going towards your players. There's
definitely some fuckery that you're going to do there.
Or if you're the owners even, and it's
there's
close.
And there's a couple owners out there, especially the one in town. They'd be like, how much do you guys need? And what do I get to spend all of a sudden? Am I get a, here's the fucking paycheck. There you go. Take that over there and let's go up the cap. And I'm okay, Mr. Holland, do your thing.
Here's a nice thumb drive full of Bitcoin from Daryl Case. Just like get this cap shooting up a little bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'd be great for the Oilers. It'd be great for a lot of teams, but the cup contenders especially would benefit from this.
Other news, yesterday the reverse retros officially got released, even though we've all kind of had a look at pieces and leaks, especially here in Edmonton. We've kind of had an idea what the Oilers reverse retro was going to look like for a while now. My question just for you guys is just winners and losers. Who do you like? Who do you dislike? I'm just curious your thoughts. Doesn't really matter where we start here.
There is one obvious winner, and the rest you can filter down however you want. But the obvious winner is the warm-ups or practice for the Philadelphia Flyers. With the Cooperalls, or that's just...
Yeah. Amazing.
At the end, just shut it down, contest over. Those are the winners. Walk away.
So the thing that bothers me about the Cooperalls is that they're only wearing them in warm-up. So Frank Saravalli from DailyFaceoff.com.
They're unsafe.
They're unsafe? But like, come on.
How?
We
can't create the new
30
fucking
years to figure it out?
I guess they're so slippery on the ice. You like crash into the boards and shit. You hit the ground. You like, it's like a slip and slide.
Let's make them a little more abrasive then on the outside of the pants.
Crazy carpets used to have in elementary school.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's make them a little bit more abrasive. Let's get the Cooperalls back.
Tape some sandpaper onto them.
Something can be done. Come on.
Surely we've got the technology to do this.
There's no way those are very breathable these days.
I don't care about that. They look great.
That too.
Yeah, we just get speed holes.
They can be like the tearaway, so there's a snap every couple inches.
Guys ripping down the ice.
Could you imagine how nice that would feel? The air conditioning?
Do you got anybody you hated though, Rick, on these jerseys?
Like I get old and grumpy on this, so there's a bunch that I'm just like...
There's a bunch of teams that really miss
the mark. I just don't think a lot of them are great, and I like Anybody who just puts their name, like their city name on your your jersey, sucks. I'm not a big fan of
like,
that.
Tell me the difference between the Detroit and the Chicago jersey. They're the exact same. Yeah.
They're the same. And then we've seen the Maple Leafs logo. Like I said before, I'm fairly certain this is the Nikolai Borishevsky jersey. The Jets, either go to the
Give
original.
Me the Thrashers. You're the Thrashers.
Yeah, but you're not.
Embrace your roots.
Yeah, you just can't.
Stop
you
it.
You can't do that.
I said it off the air. I'd love to have seen them do a W in the same style as the T.
Stop pretending you're not the Thrashers.
And then Florida go off the Jackie Moon? Like that's not even a hockey thing.
There is a Flint Tropics in the OHL.
What's that?
I like the Florida one.
Florida one looks like a Capri
cool,
Sun
but it has nothing to do with like hockey. I guess I don't know what you do for them because they haven't been around that long, but.
I put them into kind of like tiers. They're the ones I love. The Bruins Pooh Bear is awesome.
It's fun.
The Islanders Fisherman.
Great.
Awesome.
Love Captain Highliner.
Capitals Screaming Eagle. Predators with the Sabretooth 3D Tiger.
You like those?
I think they're so... Yeah. I think they're just the lightning with all the bolts all over it.
Atrocious.
But weird enough where like wearing them for a few games is great.
The Calgary thing that's... Like the
pedestal.
No, but like the wraparound, and then it comes like north.
Yeah, it's a pedestal.
It's like it's as if a pedestal is holding up the flame.
They look like shit.
Of their logo.
Yeah, the kid. I did not get that at all. I had some sort of karate like band like a tie or something. Like,
I think that what they need to do is just turn the C down. And get rid of the negative space, Rick. Get rid of the negative space first.
You know what their logo looks like, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I said. Get rid of the negative space. My favorites are the Dallas Stars. That's such a clean
I hate them because they give me PTSD flashbacks from the late 90s.
I don't
that's
like it.
Hatcher right there.
I like the Sharks going with the seals.
Yep.
Look. I love the crown on the Kings jersey.
Super fresh.
That's an auto win though, right? The Kings just have that. As soon as the Kings go purple yellow, it's like, all right,
yeah,
they win.
You win. Yeah, every time. The Colorado one looks lazy to me. That's just
their that was old, there. That was there. That was their fucking.
The Colorado Rockies.
The Devils were lazy too.
Yep.
And their color scheme is horrible.
But the laziest of them all, and it's the center of the universe, Toronto, your jerseys suck. I'm sorry. They suck every time. This one looks like you asked a little kid to draw out the leaf and then you cut around their drawing and put it on the front of the jersey. And I'm convinced that the next reverse retro is going to be a blank white square with the Leafs logo on it drawn on by somebody.
At least they didn't just write Toronto down the...
Could have been worse. You're right. Could have been worse, but Toronto, you still suck.
Also, Anaheim Ducks, you're done. You're done with this one. You either go back to it full time... Stop every third
because of Disney Tyler.
I know, but every fucking third jersey they do, it's like, guess what, hockey fans? We're bringing back the Mighty Ducks logo. And it's like, you've done it 8 times in the last like 6 seasons. We get it. I know that's overplayed to me. People love it because nostalgia, but like,
I do like the Pittsburgh one because it reminds me of like
Pittsburgh's legit.
And Yager.
Sid and Malkin. I got a buddy who's a Penguins fan and he's chomping at the bit to get a Sid one of those.
But log driver's waltz on the Canucks jersey is stupid.
Yeah, that's kind of dumb.
What's that guy's name? Johnny Canuck?
Johnny Canuck. Vancouver brought him back like 10, 15 years ago, and I think the fan base was clamoring for him then. It was right when they did that scene.
Right when they lost in the Stanley Cup final?
Yeah.
Right when they
right
lost?
Right afterwards, maybe. But it seems like they just keep bringing him back again and again now, and it's kind of overplayed.
There's a few teams that I'd nominate for the Fuck This Is Due Now award. Columbus gets that because it makes close to no sense.
The color schemes don't even match on that one.
It literally seems like they woke up in the morning and were like, we need to announce a reverse retro in 2 hours.
Shit, guys, we forgot this one.
Same with the Devils to an extent. They're like, oh my God, we forgot to do a reverse retro.
Again, they don't match.
Slap the Kansas City Scouts color scheme on our jersey. We're good. I like the Yotes. The Yotes went different while also, like, I think in the true name of like a reverse retro, teams like the Oilers and Yotes did it best, and Buffalo to an extent.
I don't like the Buffa Slug.
It's kind of funny.
That's the cutoff head one. They have a separate head one. Buffa Slug is, I wish they brought back the Buffa Slug.
That one was terrible. That's like the true Stafford year.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. No, I don't like that Buffalo head.
Stop saying that name. Do you know how often the MSM wanted that guy out here?
Listen.
Good Lord.
Now is the time Drew Stafford's going to come in.
Yeah, he's 53. He's teaching.
Do you know that he was a stick boy once upon a time?
Jim Matheson just gave our pod a 5-star review.
Here's a couple that... I really like Washington Capitals.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep. Go back to the Eagles.
One I don't like, Montreal Canadiens, you're so fucking boring.
But
I get it. The logo, iconic.
Some
we
of those
all
teams
get
it. Yeah, they won't change it.
We do not care. Minnesota, I like the North Stars colors. Give me the North Stars logo.
Just use the jersey like Carolina does with Hartford's.
Seattle Kraken. You got no history. I get what you did with the Metropolitans.
Just wear your normal jersey. Who cares?
Give me the Supersonics. They would have sold so many jerseys if they put the Supersonics logo on the front of that thing. Vegas, it's cool that the numbers glow. Who cares?
You play in the dark often?
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's ridiculous. Night. Rangers. I like the Statue of Liberty logo. I think the rest is lazy. St. Louis Blues are awful.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen the Penguins play in this jersey before.
Yeah, of course.
I'm fairly certain I've seen that exact jersey.
Early 90s.
But the St. Louis Blues is awful.
Yeah.
Well, terrible.
I don't mind. I wish that they hadn't put it right next to the Predators jersey in this picture because it them look exactly the same. But I love that blue note. I just do.
I would rather get kicked in the shin than wear a yellow jersey ever.
The Wild just did the same thing they did last year.
Yeah, nobody noticed.
Yeah, everyone's like, North Stars.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, I think that's probably part of it.
They're junk this year.
Any final thoughts on the reverse retros?
I can't wait till next year when they're over.
For content creators like us, God, it's just shooting fish in a barrel.
Oh, it's so easy.
DailyFaceoff.com, reverse retro rankings, OilersNation.com. Thoughts on the reverse retros. This is the best.
You got it.
That's what I said. I was helping out with the Daily Faceoff's Instagram last year when they released it, and I sure as shoot posted 32 different posts for each one because the conversation was a
full. Who's going to go buy those knowing damn well they're only using them 4 to 5 times in one season?
Then you're not going to buy one of the oil drops?
I'm literally wearing it right now, Rick.
When are we going to get Nike announcing that they're taking over the jerseys? That's what I want to know.
And then all of these will be clearance for $10.
Who did you say? Nike?
Nike.
I think it's Fanatics.
I think it's going to be Nike because here's my theory. They already have MLB. They have the NFL. They have the NBA. To them, the NHL, that's a cheap throw-in. Just own North America.
I'm going to go out of left field and guess it's
Fedorov and white skates.
I'm going to guess it's Drake. Drake makes hockey jerseys. OVO?
And nobody ever wins again.
I want to know from you. I want to hear from you on Radio Podcast. Which reverse retros did you like? Which don't you like? Do you agree with the boys? Do you not agree with the boys? Let us know.
When Drake makes the jerseys, the Leafs are going to get 27 alternates, and we're all going to fight for one jersey to share amongst the rest of us.
I got a couple of questions here for Ask the Idiots Boys for our friends at Twig and Berries. Check them out, twigandberries.ca. Use the promo code NATION15. Get a discount on your order. Or if you're out in St. Albert, stop in the store. Try on an ODR sweater.
Sweaty sweater.
Sweater.
That's how warm they'll keep you.
It is warm in here right now. Go check out the sweater. Or fresh pair of Ginch. Nutsack undies. Tyler, they're comfy.
Nom, nom, nom.
Okay. First question, Ask the Idiots for our friends at Twig and Berries. I'm starting with Rick because this is I'm most curious about your answer.
Oh, here. I'm excited now.
What is one thing people get at a pub or restaurant that you refuse to order? Is it nachos? Is it a salad? Something else?
Shot of Sambuca.
Oh, yeah.
You don't like Sambuca?
Absolutely not. It's fucking terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I don't even like fucking carry it anymore. And that's more like I'm the one who does the liquor order. So I was like, nah, I didn't order any. No, we don't got it. No, that's fine. No, we don't carry it.
Throw that
shot glass in the garbage. Like, it's terrible.
I love that. I didn't expect that answer. Dan?
I have to steal one from Rick. If anybody orders Jaeger around me, I have to leave because makes my stomach turn. I've had it puked on me more than any other liquor smell, in the world. It's just distinctive for me because it's been puked on me as many times as it has. So, yeah, Jägermeister. But if I had to choose a food item, I would say, I mean, you can tell by looking at me, I've never ordered a salad in my life at a restaurant. I just haven't. It's not a thing
Are you actually not a big salad guy?
I'm not. No, I don't. When I go to a restaurant, it's not a very common thing for me. So I'm not going for the rabbit food.
Fair enough.
I would say soup, but I love a big soup. French onion. That's about the only one I'm going for. But a big French onion, that hits home.
It depends on the restaurant, but yeah, that's...
Other than that, you won't find me ordering soup.
I will say, if I'm at a pub, I'm not ordering a salad. What I'm there for. Yeah. I'm in there to make poor choices.
But the guy down the hallway...
Well, if it's a side salad.
Yeah. The guy down the hallway there loves to get the salad.
Oh, he loves the salad. Yeah. Operation Keep It Tight. Tyler, what are you not ordering when you're going out?
You guys might come at me a little bit for this one. I'm not an onion rings guy.
That's fair.
I like onion. I put it on things and burgers, all that. I enjoy it. It's not like I just deal with it being there. Like, I actually do like it. But just something about onion rings, I don't know. I can't do it.
Oh, I have to try them everywhere I go.
Yeah, I love a good onion ring. Who amongst
us used to go to Arby's and get onion rings?
Oh, mozza sticks. I used to get mozza sticks at Arby's.
I thought it was
to be fair. I've been to Arby's. They've definitely had both mozza sticks and onion rings.
100%.
So, yeah. In terms of liquor, there's not really a type of booze that I'm like, no, I'm not going to shoot that. Like, I've noticed it.
I said no yet.
There we go.
Whenever I'm out, if I go to the pint, I don't want a shot of Jack. I'll take it, but I don't want it. One of my proudest accomplishments in this company was when I steered our parties away from trays of Jack showing up to trays of tequila. Because tequila is just far superior to Jack Daniels. But for food, I'm not ordering a salad if I'm going to a pub. Like, that's the last thing I'm doing. I want wings. I want some fries. I want a burger, maybe a beef dip, something like that. Delicious. Liam?
I couldn't think of a food, but my answer is tequila. I can't do it.
Tea time waits for no man.
There's too many times when
choose not to or can't.
Pardon?
Choose not to or can't.
Both. It soon became can't, and then choose not to.
Have you ever tried following it with like a little shot of Clamato juice?
That is a game changer.
I don't like Clamato juice.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't like or you do?
So
don't like.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to help you then.
Rick gave me that tip.
It'll kill the flavor in it.
It might make it worse.
Yeah, the tequila goes away.
Rick gave me that tip together, and he's just like, here, have a little shot of clam. I'm like, really? Just gone.
Gone.
Erased. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's wild. Find out.
Okay, Liam, there's no way you go to pubs in Canada and order fish and chips.
No, I don't.
There you go. There's your answer.
Also, can't wait to see you at the Christmas party trying to refuse my tequila shots.
Can't wait to see you in Vegas trying to refuse tequila shots.
I'll figure it out.
Don't forget, you need to have at least one shot before 10.
Not of tequila necessary.
We'll have a chat group. This needs to be videoed. And even though we do it fucking live on video, we still got fucking ridiculous. Tortured for it. But
I'll do Sambuca.
That's fine. Prep yourself. Make sure it's there the night before because you don't want to run around first thing in the morning. Trust me.
Ask the Idiots question number 2, reversing the order. Liam, starting with you. Which hosing of the Oilers by the NHL was the most ridiculous? Was it 1, the draft picks that they had to pay for coaches and GMs that were released from their previous team? 2, the James Neal draft pick to Calgary, even though he did not hit the goals that he needed? Or 3, the Duncan Keith cap credit magically becoming a thing that doesn't exist?
That's already on an approved signed document.
Wow.
I think the Keith one, because the other ones, like the NHL taking picks, happens to other teams as well. And then the other one was the COVID thing, which is just kind of stupid for everyone. I don't like that one. But I'll just say Keith because it was literally part of the fucking agreement.
It's in this contract. NHL, you sign it? Yep. You guys sign it? Yep. All right. Just by the way, we're going to just erase that one line right there. Yeah, that's not allowed anymore.
All it
right,
basically means nothing matters. They can do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what they said.
Yeah.
I'm reading our message from OP, Original Puzar, when he reached out last time we talked about that recapture thing. And he said that that's not the case, that the CBA doesn't help teams that don't sign the contract, I think is essentially what he got to. So it was designed, that recapture thing was designed for Chicago, not us, not our benefit.
Well, that's stupid too.
It's an asset, so it should be able to be moved in the deal.
I just want to put that disclaimer out there from OP.
And we do read our DMs from Original
Puzar. So wait, Puzar does give us.
It was part of Duncan Keith's contract.
It wasn't a positive for Edmonton. It was a negative for Chicago. However, if that's the case, they still just said, "Oh, right, well, we'll pretend we did it last year." Yeah, gone anyways.
I thought everything that happened in the contract just got moved.
Apparently, this one didn't.
This feels like a deep conversation.
But yeah, if I'm talking about screwing this team over,
because the NHL hates the Oilers.
Yeah.
I feel like we have to go off the board too, though. There's some more opportunities for this.
I know.
I think the most screwed over we've ever gotten by the league. What a funny thing to even have to sit here and think about. I don't know. Come back to me. I got to think about it.
I gave you 3 options.
I know, and I need a 4th.
To me, it's the Neal one because it never happened.
Yep. Yeah.
That would be like if Austin Matthews, and maybe they would do this, if Austin Matthews finished 3 goals back of Drysdale for the Rocket, but he played 20 less games, and the league was like, listen.
You were going to pass him.
He would have passed him if he played those 20 games. Just give it to him. And it cost him a 3rd. That's bullshit.
Wasn't it to that season McDavid? David, if he had hit the 100-point mark, he would have passed Gretzky's record.
Yes, they didn't use this for anybody else. There's not there's no scoring. There's no bonuses out there. They're like, well, you probably would have hit it.
Because he had to, like, also, there was James Neal was hurt at the time, so he wasn't even playing.
No. And he was probably going to be out for the rest of the year.
It's garbage.
At least the regular season.
Rick, which one of those is worse to you?
It's Neal, but the real answer is the Wayne Gretzky rule.
Dan, you got an answer? Dan is deep in thought.
No, I still don't. I guess, like, James Neal's is pretty bad. Like, it's pretty egregious when you look back on it. Because it was an independently arbitrated thing, it didn't apply to anybody else. It was just him specifically. And they just said, yeah, he would have scored those goals.
Same with Gretzky, though. The year before he became for the WHA, no problem. He could have got the Rookie of the Year. As soon as Gretzky got here, like, nope, not allowed. And I believe they flipped it again right after.
That's more screwing over Gretzky than it's screwing over the Oilers.
No, yeah, but he is the Oilers.
Yeah, he was a racer.
Of these three options, the most annoying to me is, just to be different, I'm going to say the draft picks for coaches and GMs that were previously fired. I know that's a thing. It was a thing. But, like, having to pay a draft pick for fucking Peter Chiarelli just, like, after he got fired is crazy.
At the very least, the NHL could have given us a compensatory at the end of the round pick.
Dan, I'm going to start with you on this third one. It's just a weird question, if I'm being honest. Who is more of a mini version of the other? Is Tyler closer to Jay Downton, or is Bagmilk closer to Wanye?
Oh, it's not even close. Bagmilk is closer to Wanye. There's times when Bagmilk says something, and I don't know if it was Wanye or Bagmilk. So, yeah, for me, Tyler and Jay are...
I don't even get that comparison.
But maybe from the perception of the outside of the company, like, yeah, we maybe know these guys, and that's, so we yeah get it. But yeah, Tyler and Jay are very different human beings. So yeah,
There are similarities, but I agree with you.
Which is closer, me and Wanye? Yeah,
you and Wanye.
Tyler, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, how Jay and I would even get lumped together, because, like,
gambling in Vegas on a Saturday night.
I think you guys have done a lot.
That's
of gonna stuff
look. That's
together
gonna look a lot. Yeah, a lot alike, by the way. Yeah.
And that's the other thing too. Bagmilk and Wanye have done a lot of stuff together. They've
been, it's a nice breeze coming in that window.
Oh, that's real nice. Actually,
that's a nice breeze.
Also, another thing where Tyler and Jay are very similar. You put them in front of a cover band on Fremont Street at 1 a.m. and they're having a boogie.
I can't wait.
Liam, do you have an answer for this one?
I have the same answer as everybody else.
All right.
So get to know us behind the scenes is what we're saying.
Well,
I wouldn't
Oilers
suggest
now
that.
Plus, but more exclusive content.
You're in luck, Dan, because the last question for Ask the Idiots is exactly that. Tell me something the audience wouldn't know about the person on your right, Dan.
Person on my right.
So Dan, Rick is on Dan's right now. If you're listening to this,
good luck, Tyler.
Well,
what don't they know about Rick? Rick is like, Rick is has this like gruff exterior, but he is one of the softest guys I know. And like, if you're ever in need or in help or need help in downtown Edmonton, you know where Rick is, and you don't even have to put up the brick signal. He'll just come help you. So Rick is a softy behind that gruff exterior.
Rick, you're up next. I am sitting on your right. What is something that people don't know about me?
Your first name and what you look like.
What a fucking layup. Are you kidding me?
Go ahead, explain it without saying it.
I'm up next. Liam is on my right. I think that people probably don't understand or realize how much stuff Liam does behind the scenes for us. He's kind of all over the place in multiple shows, and he's not always on the show, but he is touching a lot of stuff behind the scenes. So that's what I would say.
More than just burger reviews.
And bananas.
I don't know if I want to be more than just burger reviews. I kind of like that. I literally can't think of anything for Tyler. We've known each other for a long time. I'm trying to think.
One story. Give us a story. Give us a Tyler story.
I remember when Tyler started BTI at Nate.
That was our old junior hockey blog.
Yeah.
Wow. But
yeah. So that was kind of how Tyler and I started becoming buddies. And we used to write these articles, which is my idea. And it was a bit stupid, but we did this thing where we would compare players. It was going to be like a bracket to like who's the best in the NHL. And I had like Jamie Benn and Tyler and like Sidney Crosby. And I had to talk about how Jamie Benn was going to be better than Crosby. Yeah. And I remember one time I went to Tyler's house for a fantasy baseball draft. And one of his buddies was like, so tell us how Jamie Benn's better than everybody. Wow, nice to meet you guys.
You found one of the three listeners. That was awesome.
I'm going to eat a banana.
Tyler, you're last up. What's something that nobody knows about Dan?
I was gonna go super like inside joke and have a line about his vodka drinking, but I'm not gonna go there. I'm gonna say people probably don't know that, like, when we say Dan runs hockey fights, like, Dan cuts the fights on hockey fights. Dan doesn't just like oversee hockey fights or like run the Twitter for hockey fights. He cuts every fight from an NHL season.
Yep. There's a lot of work that goes into that
too. Yeah.
Thanks.
We all work very hard here.
We do. Yeah, yeah, I think that's true about everybody. I think that you could say that about everybody around the table, that you probably don't know everything, every hat that we've worn. Bag Milk and I, being here as long as we have, we've worn, Bag Milk's worn 50, 60 of them. It just, yeah, you, to make a smaller company like this work, now we're, I don't think we can say that much anymore.
Conglomerate now.
But yeah, it's necessary. And so it is so true about everybody here.
Twig and Berry's Ask the Idiots. Submit your questions to me on Instagram, Twitter, email, whatever. Just slide into my DMs. I will include you. I'm going to do a new thing because people have been shitting on me for not including their questions or forgetting about them. So if you submit a question, I'm going to leave you unread so that it shows up in my unread messages and I'll be able to find it way easier. So that's going to be the new rule going forward. Keep sending your questions. We're going to do Ask the Idiots every Friday now that we're back to 2 days a week. Lastly, get the buttons ready. It is time for our hot and cold performers for our friends at Canada Snowboard. Experience a world-class mashup of snowboarding and style right here in Edmonton. A heightened fan experience grants you front row seats to watch the best snowboarders go head-to-head in the largest stadium big air contest Canada has ever seen. Tyler and I are going on a little date. December 10th, Commonwealth Stadium. We're going to go watch a big air competition presented by Toyota and our friends at Explore Edmonton. Let's finish off the podcast with our veggies. Well, we start with our veggies. Cold performer of the week. Liam, you're at the board. You're up first. Your Canada Snowboard cold performer of the week.
I'm going to stay on brand, and I'm going to say hockey rinks that don't have, like, food kiosks. Mm-hmm. I think it's ridiculous. I want to go there. I want to have a cup of coffee or a hot chocolate, and yep. I want to have, like, a burger, a hot dog, or a bag of popcorn.
I think you should start telling us who does not have that.
Medicine Hat didn't have one. They had a booster juice.
Like, were you at the arena that the Tigers play in?
No. It's a community center. They had a booster juice, and then there was one in Calgary. I was at the same weekend, and they had pretzels place. It's just not what I want.
I like the pretzel option, but there needs to be some burgers and dogs.
Yeah. So I just... Let's get back to traditions here, people.
It's been up and down like a toilet seat, really.
Yeah, we can't hear those.
I just like how just such authority when he says, get back to traditions here, people. Tyler, you're up next. You're a Canada Snowboard cold performer of the week.
I like mixing in other sports in these. So I will say the news that Christian McCaffrey is going to the San Francisco 49ers and not to my Buffalo Bills. That's sad to me. I wanted them to get CMC, and that's not happening, so.
You're as cold as ice.
Nation Dan, your Canada Snowboard cold performer of the week.
Well, he ducked the matchup of the Battle of Alberta against us, and so I'm going to give it to one Jacob Markstrom, and you now sit with your .862 save percentage on the season, and you're still struggling. So Jacob Markstrom, you get my hot performer, cold performer of the week for no showing.
Are you thrilled? I'm not.
I kind of am.
I'm
Rick,
very thrilled.
Your cold performer of the week.
Well, in much the same way Dan went with his, I'm going with one that's they're very cold, but it's quite funny for me. So it's going to be the Vancouver Canucks.
She stole mine. Yeah,
they got
so
all those two goal leads, and they cough them all up, and they just keep losing all the time, and no wins yet. This has been fantastic to watch.
So, sorry, go ahead, push the button.
Oh, that's cold.
So last night they didn't extend their record, right? Because they were only winning by one. Is that right?
I don't know.
Yes. They did.
They did or didn't.
They were not up by two ever.
Oh.
But they did lose in overtime.
You know, actually, I made a video of like who's going to get Bedard, and I jokingly said Vancouver because Quads was sat next to me. I'm liking my odds at the moment.
Yeah, you're looking pretty good right now. Bruce, there it was. Huh?
Yeah.
My cold performer of the week is, since Rick took mine, I'm just going to say Quads. I hope you're enjoying this terrible start that the Vancouver Canucks are having. You talked a lot of shit in this summer, my friend, and well, the chickens are coming back to roost, as it were.
Oh, that's a great button.
All right, let's finish off the podcast on a positive note, Rick, starting with you, your Canada Snowboard hot performer of the week.
Well, I think it has to go to two or maybe three different entities. I know it's a little selfish, but I'm one of them. I guess the other one has to be the Edmonton Oilers, the arena. And then the third one would have to be the company referred to as Starter. If anyone can see this jacket I'm wearing right
you
now.
You look great today.
This is absolutely incredible. I've looked for one of these Starter pullovers for years and years and years. eBay, Kijiji, doesn't matter. It's looking everywhere. You can't even find them on the Starter website right now, but I was in the arena last night and they were just sitting there on the hanger and
really?
I had to make sure I got one. I got my one.
He's a hot guy.
Yes, he is. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen one of those since I'm like 12.
Same.
I love them.
I had a Michigan Wolverines when I was a kid.
Amazing. Nation Dan, your hot performer of the week.
I feel like I'm stealing yours, maybe,
good.
Bag Milk, but
probably.
I'm just going to give it to Flames Nation for all the work that they've been doing.
Oh, no, fuck those guys.
I got to give them credit. I have to give them credit for the trolling that they did. Right after the game, they posted the video of, like, 2012, 2013 of us booing the players, or some Oilers fans booing the players as they came off the ice at Rexall, and they got the internet. They fooled everyone. They everyone believed that that was us. Currently in our most recent building, we, you know, so anyways, I give Flames Nation a lot of credit. They're having a lot of fun
Zero.
Down there.
Zero.
Boomer and Pinder, you're doing great work. Flames Nation, you get my hot performer of the week.
Hear me out on this killer. One. They can go to hell.
Tyler, your Canada's number hot performer of the week.
I actually debated doing that hot performer too, though. My hot performer of the week is just going to, I'm keeping it on the ice. Oilers. They didn't score first against Buffalo, but they got off to a good start then. I feel like they got off to a good start against Carolina and finally scored first. So good starts and back-to-back games. Hot performer.
Navigating different options.
We the best.
Love DJ Khaled. Liam, your hot performer of the week.
Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Amen.
Back-to-back games with points. Baby. Scoring at big times. You got to love it. So the Nuge. I wish we had a we should get one that's just Nuge. Something to consider.
Just rip the audio from my appearance on Oilers Nation every day today.
Something to consider, says the producer.
Since Liam took... Are you done, Michael Scott? Okay. Just because Liam took mine, I'm going to give my hot performer of the week to the Buffalo Sabres because it hurt that we lost to the Sabres, but after that loss, there was a lot of Flames fans in our mentions talking about how shitty this team is that they lost to the Buffalo Sabres. Well,
what a surprise.
Shout out to the Buffalo Sabres for going down in Calgary and beating them worse than they beat us. So I hope that humble pie tasted delicious. So shout out to the Buffalo Sabres. It's getting hot in here. And Ellie.
I made a tweet yesterday. It was Rasmus Anderson is a loser. And
he's
a
terrible.
Lot of people were right on top of that. And I saw literally 30 seconds of that game. And it was him complaining about somebody diving. And he was clearly not a dive. So if anyone's asking, a lot of people asked, that was why.
I was wondering. I was just, you know, I kind of agreed with the statement. So I was just let it go.
Just don't like him.
Nope, let him roll.
Ever since Nurse filled his face in the preseason a couple years ago, that was fantastic.
Yeah, that was
kids nice. Just run his mouth ever since and doesn't do a damn thing on the ice.
I don't get it. It's too bad he scored that goal against us.
He's very Calgary Flames.
He is very Calgary Flames. Any final thoughts? We good?
Fuck the Flames.
Fuck the Flames forever. All right, Oilers Nation Radio, it's a wrap. I want to thank DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Cornerstone Insurance, Canada Snowboard, and Twig and Berries for making it all possible, and most importantly, you for listening. Now up to twice a week, we will be back on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Shout out Ash.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.